The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's time to bring out the Better Worldian in all of us. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio with your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. Better Worldians Radio inspires you with the people and ideas that are making the world a better place. You'll hear how small acts can make a big difference every day. Now, here are Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory.
Hi, this is Ray Hansel. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio. Better Worldians Radio is a weekly broadcast whose mission is to uplift and inspire you to make the world a better place. Every week, we are interviewing best-selling authors, film producers, TED speakers, happiness experts, and also everyday people just like you whose small acts make a big difference. We are the family team that created the popular social game on Facebook called A Better World. It rewards players for doing good deeds while helping to raise money and awareness for charities. Now, let me introduce you to my co-hosts, Mary Sue Hansel and Gregory Hansel. Mary Sue has been a successful entrepreneur and business executive for over 30 years. She's also an avid practitioner of the healing arts, positive psychology, and spirituality. Now, here's my life partner, Mary Sue.
Hi, everyone. I want to tell you about all the good being done in our social game this week. During this past week, we have sent more than 13,000 get-well wishes, nearly 15,000 expressions of gratitude posted, and more than 20,000 hearts of love and friendships were sent, and over 30,000 good deeds done. That's wonderful. Great job, Better Worldians. Now let me introduce you to Greg Hansel. Gregory has a background in philosophy and world religions, and most importantly, has spent over 15 years at the intersection of technology, social causes, and big ideas.
Hi, this is Greg. Thank you all for joining us today at Better Worldians Radio. Let me first just tell you a bit about my dad, Ray, who you just heard from. He's a serial entrepreneur who successfully founded and with Mary Sue took public a national marketing firm. Giving back has always been really important to Dad, who supports cancer research, disabled children, disadvantaged families, and other causes. This week on Better Worldians Radio, we are discussing how small acts of kindness make a big impact. We'll talk about how everyone, all of us, can have a part in changing the world.
Joining us today is filmmaker and producer Dan Carslake. Dan's film, For the Bible Tells Me So, won 9 Best Documentary Audience Awards at prestigious festivals across the country. It was on the short list for a 2008 Academy Award and premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. Dan's work was singled out by many organizations, including the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences.
Now, Dan's latest work is a film called Every 3 Seconds, which we'll be discussing in detail today. Dan, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
I'd like to start out, Dan, with just tell us about Every 3 Seconds. What's this film about?
Well, the title comes from the fact that every 3 seconds, someone somewhere in the world dies in extreme poverty. Usually it's a child, and usually it's from a preventable disease. And when I first heard that statistic, I thought, well, wait a minute, that's something like 30,000 people a day, 300,000 people every 10 days are still dying from things that are mostly solvable. I just had a really hard time believing that, so I decided to do some research myself, and I kind of dove into it and read everything I could about both hunger and extreme poverty, and I realized that we live in a time now when there have been so many advancements in how we can distribute food. You know, we have 3 times as much food on the earth than we need to feed everyone. Yet, so many people, even in the U.S., suffer from hunger. But we also live in this time where, especially through cell phones and our computers, we are all so much more able to be a part of the end of hunger and the end of extreme poverty. So when I learned that these two are completely solvable now and that we are part of the generations on the earth right now that could solve them for the first time in human history, I decided I wanted to make a film about it because I wanted to be part of that process, and what I do is make films. So I decided to use my skills as a filmmaker to spread the word that each of us can have a role in this incredibly exciting new possibility.
That's incredible. It's it really is. I understand from stats that we've also read that you sent to us that more than 800 million people go to bed hungry every single day, and 300 million of these people are children. So why aren't we doing more about this right now?
Well, I think part of the problem is somewhat ironic. It comes from the campaigns that started in the 1970s when the world started first focusing on world hunger and trying to end it. I know that I grew up in that period seeing a lot of commercials and campaigns about ending world hunger, and I saw so many images myself of starving children covered with flies and, you know, sitting in a mud puddle looking horribly desperate, that I've been sort of socialized myself to kind of turn away from it all felt so hopeless and so huge and so overwhelming that I think a lot of us have turned away from the issue. Even though we would love to see it solved, we would love to be part of it, we don't really believe it's doable, and we definitely don't believe that we could have a role in it. That's been the huge learning for me personally as I've made this film, is trying to talk to people in a way about these issues when they don't kind of glaze over and shut down because it's just too painful. The good news is that since those campaigns started in early 70s, we have cut the number of people dying from hunger and extreme poverty in half, not the proportion. I mean, as everyone knows, the population of the globe has increased greatly since 1970, but we have cut the bottom line number of people dying from hunger in half since 1970, and with all these new tools, we could do the rest in less than 5 years.
My goodness. Now, you stress in your film that it's not, every 3 seconds is not a film about hunger and poverty, or it's about solving these problems. So tell me a little bit more about that. What was your goal in doing that?
Right. Well, as I was invited to Stanford University to be a visiting scholar there in 2008, the fall of 2008, in order to figure out how to make this film, because I had spoken to a number of faculty and staff at Stanford about this challenge that I didn't want to make a film that fed into this helplessness that people feel around these issues because it's such a big part of why it's not being solved. So they invited me there, and I spent a lot of time talking to students and faculty and really just people in my regular life at Stanford about kind of what about the discussion of hunger, what about the discussion of poverty kind of turns you away, not necessarily turns you off, but just feels too overwhelming. And the feedback I always got was that they just don't believe that there is anything they can do about it, that there's nothing that a normal, regular person who's not necessarily an activist, who hasn't necessarily given their life to this cause, can do. So I decided, instead of talking about how widespread hunger is and how devastating it is and showing those examples, I would instead find 5 people of different ages, regular people who decided for some reason in their life to do something having to do with these issues that involve poverty or hunger. So I found these 5 people, a kid, a college student, a 35-year-old, and 2 seniors who were just kind of regular people going about their lives, and they didn't think, okay, now it's time for me to change the world, now it's time for me to solve hunger or make a huge impact. They thought, I see something right in front of me where I can do something small to help somebody else, a family, a community, their town, even their state. And what happened in all 5 of these stories that we tell in the film is that things just kept evolving and evolving, and the first act led to the second act, led to the third act, and all 5 of these people ended up actually changing the world because they just followed their intuition and their intention that they could have they could have the power to make somebody's life better. And by doing that, they made, in some instances, millions of people's lives better.
That's amazing. We're going to be talking today throughout this section and also throughout the entire show about a few of these people. What I'd like to start out by talking about, as you call it, the kid. So Charlie Simpson, this little boy, we found this very inspiring. So tell us a little bit about Charlie.
Yeah, well, Charlie lives in London with his little sister Alice and his two parents. And just after the Haiti earthquake, when he was seven, he and his family were watching coverage of the earthquake. And, of course, like everybody else who was watching that coverage, they were horrified. But Charlie especially was particularly deeply upset by the children he saw in this coverage, children who had not only, as he says, lost their homes, but they'd lost their parents as well. And after crying, literally crying, for a couple of days, according to Charlie's parents, his mother sat down with him and said, "Charlie, you seem very moved by this. I understand why you're so upset." And he said, "Yes, I just can't imagine losing both my family and our flat. What must that be like? I have so much. I have to do something to help those kids." And his mother, to her credit, and this is a wonderful parenting story as well, his mother said, "Well, Charlie, you know, being upset and crying about it is one thing. Another thing, it's another thing to actually do something. And what do you think you could do to help these kids?" And he had seen his father the year before. His father had done a bike ride from London to Paris to raise money for breast cancer. So the only thing Charlie really knew that you could do to raise money for charity was ride your bike. And as a seven-year-old, a typical seven-year-old boy, he had a bike and he loved his bike. So he said to his mom, "How about if I ride my bike around our local park?" And she said, "Okay, how far do you think you can go?" He said, 5 miles. "That's pretty far, but I think it's worth it for these kids." And she said, "Great, let's go online to a philanthropy page in the UK called Just Giving, and let's put up a web page so that Daddy and I can share it with your grandparents, with our friends, with Daddy's friends at work, that hopefully people will make donations, and then we'll send those donations to UNICEF, who's doing such important work for the children in Haiti, as they do for children everywhere." So they put up a web page. He went to school. This was on a Sunday, and he went to school the next day. When he went to school, no one had made any donations, but by the time he got home, he had raised £2,555, which completely blew him away because he didn't even know what £100 meant. They had set a goal of £500 for the whole campaign, and both parents were worried that that was way too much. But the people that they had shared his website with felt very moved that this little boy was doing this, so he had already raised £2,500. And more miraculously, by the time he actually did the ride, which was only a week later, after he had the idea, he ended up raising more than £250,000 for UNICEF. And UNICEF UK talks very clearly in the film about the fact that not only was that money hugely needed in Haiti, his inspiration inspired thousands of kids all over the world to call their local UNICEF offices and say, "I saw that little boy who did that 5 mile ride in London. I'm going to do a ride myself, or I'm going to rollerblade, or I'm going to go door to door." They can't even quantify how much money really he and his inspiration raised. And this is just because this little boy saw someone in need, decided to do something about it, and didn't listen to all the outside voices saying, "You know, what can you really do? Will that really matter?" He just did it, and he did it spectacularly, and it's an amazing story.
It is an amazing story. I can't wait to see it on the film. It's an amazing, amazing story. And
I just heard from Charlie's mom, Leo. Charlie is now 11. And he's just decided he is doing a 40-kilometer bike ride to raise money for the victims of the typhoon in the Philippines. He's only 11. This is his third ride. The first one is for Haiti. He did one a couple years ago for Somalia, and now he's doing it for the Philippines. So if anyone's interested in knowing more about that ride, definitely go to our Facebook page. We have the link, and we can also give it to you guys to put it on your website, too, because I want as many people as possible to support him.
Why don't you give the link right now?
I don't know it first. I don't know it by heart, and I'm not in front of my computer, but I can absolutely give it to you guys. I know that the name of the page in the UK is Just Giving, and that if you go to the Just Giving page, which you can get via Google, just put in Charlie Simpson, and it will come up.
That's fantastic. We're gonna take a break right now. I'd like to offer this challenge to our listeners. If you know someone out there whose acts, no matter how small they are, whether they're 7 years old, 11 years old, or 70 years old, are making a difference in the lives of other people, we'd love to hear about them. Tweet us at hashtag BetterWorldians so we can let the BetterWorldian community know. We'll be talking more with filmmaker Dan Karslick about other people featured in his film Every 3 Seconds when we come back. In the meantime, you can learn more at BetterWorldians.com and follow our live tweets at Twitter.com/BetterWorldians. We'll be right back now.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from then on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a Better Worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? The Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile is a radio forum for some of the world's most influential people in the fields of health, wellness, and human potential. Dr. Pat brings together and introduces visionary scientists and futurists, environmentalists, educators, business leaders, inventors, filmmakers, authors, artists, mystics, and healers who inspire and support individual and collective growth and positive cultural shifts. This award-winning radio show empowers the listening community to be the change they want to see in the world. Tune in every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific for the Dr. Pat Show with Dr. Pat Basile, radio to thrive by.
Ask the experts. Call toll free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
Hi, we're back live with filmmaker and producer Dan Karslake. We'll have more with Dan in a minute, but first I'd like to share some big news here at Better Worldians Radio. As many of you know, we've recently launched a worldwide kindness campaign. We're challenging our Better Worldians listeners around the globe to watch a 2-minute video that illustrates the power of kindness. And when it reaches 1 million views, we'll release funds for surgeries that will allow 10 kids in the developing world to walk for the first time. Seems like a big goal. I'd like to think of it as a Charlie Simpson goal. It starts fairly small, but just watching the video and passing it around. So if you would, please watch the video, share it with your friends at colorwithkindness.com. That's colorwithkindness.com. And now let's welcome back Dan and Mary Sue.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Mary Sue. I just want to say I think that video, I watched the video that Ray just referenced, and it's pretty wonderful, and I've shared it. So share it as much as you can, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Dan. Yeah. Now, before the break, we were talking about some of the people featured in your film, Every 3 Seconds. Let's talk a little bit more about that. Can you tell us about Ingrid Monroe and her microgrants? I just love that story.
Yeah, Ingrid's an amazing woman. So Ingrid is a Swedish woman who found herself with her husband in Nairobi at the end of her career. She worked in housing in Nairobi. And the year she retired, she had this experience where she and her husband decided to adopt three black African boys who were living on the streets of Nairobi. Their mother had been killed, and they adopted first Waithaka and then his two brothers. But when they adopted Waithaka, Ingrid, as she says in the film, got to know the friends of Waithaka's friends' mothers. Okay, so Waithaka had all these friends in the streets, and she got to know the women who were the mothers of Waithaka's friends, and they were all women who were beggars on the streets of Nairobi. And they all had various stories about how they got there, mostly around tribal violence in central Kenya, but often around simply the fact that these women had only boy children, and often in Kenya, husbands reject the wives once they've had one or two boys because they really only want girls in Kenya. So these women had been rejected by their families, rejected by their husbands, and they were on the streets with their children begging. But as Ingrid got to know them, she realized that these were women who had huge capability to have their own careers, to have lives that were far better for them and their children. They just had absolutely no chance of getting there. And Ingrid had read about this man called Muhammad Yunus in Bangladesh. Muhammad Yunus won the Nobel Peace Prize for starting this whole system called microfinance. And very simply, it's this. You gather people who are people that banks will not ever lend money to because they're too poor. You gather them together in groups of five, and you give them what's called microloans. You give them very small amounts of money that are loans. And with that money, they can either buy a single cell phone to rent out to other people who don't have cell phones in their village, or they can start a very small green vegetable business, or they can start to buy used clothing and resell it at a profit. So these five people together, they each get a microloan of, say, $12 each, and then they support each other in their businesses and make sure that things are going well. And then when each person pays back their $12, then they get a $24 loan, and they buy two more phones, or they buy more clothes that they can resell, or whatever the micro businesses they've decided. And it's this really amazing way to give people at the lowest rung of society literally a ladder to climb themselves out of poverty. It's not charity. They're not giving them money where they just spend it and then leave. They are giving them loans, and they're paying the loans back. And what's so amazing about microfinance, particularly Ingrid's microfinance bank, is that something like 98% of the loans are repaid. When you look at the U.S., when you look at the U.S. and the rate of repayment of loans to major banks, it hovers around 50%. But these people who we think are not responsible, or who some people think are not responsible or not hard workers, are paying back their loans at a rate of 98%. So Ingrid, back 10 years ago, the year after she retired, decided to gather these women together. She knew 50 of them, 50. She put them in groups of five, and she loaned each of them $12. So altogether for Ingrid, it was an investment of $600. That was the beginning of a microfinance bank called Jamibora. And those 50 beggar women all started their own businesses. They're all tiny, tiny little businesses, and paid back their loans, and then took another loan and paid back that loan, and expanded and expanded and expanded. And now 11 years later, Jamibora now makes microloans to 350,000 people all over Kenya. And they are responsible for pulling probably about 1.5 million people out of poverty. It's an amazing story.
Talk about a little deed.
It's amazing. And what I love about it is that she started it the year she retired. But this is a senior citizen. You know, so many seniors, when they retire, think, well, my usefulness is over. What can I really do now? This is my, you know, these are my golden years. I guess I'll just sort of, you know, calm down and just get old, I guess. But this is a great story, proof that seniors especially have so much to give back. And Ingrid spoke beautifully in our interview about going back to Sweden to her high school reunion about 5 years ago and how struck she was by how everyone just talked about how old they felt and how getting older was so hard. And she was sort of stunned. She thought, I'm so busy with the microfinance bank, you know, working with all these people, I never even think about being old. I don't really consider myself old. You're young. I mean, it's just a, it's a beautiful example also of, it's not so much that, you know, well, let me say it another way. When you help someone, you're helping yourself just as much. I mean, the payback and the effect, even biologically, on your own body is just as strong. So, you know, it's wonderful to do something altruistically, but those of us who do that, at least when we do it, and everybody's had this experience, when you are able to give of yourself, something comes over your body that you never feel otherwise, because it's even physiologically good for us to be doing small deeds of goodness, because it helps our health, it helps our immune system. You know, in every 3 seconds, there's a section of the film in which we talk about the biology of altruism. And a scientist called Dacher Keltner from Berkeley talks about the fact that, you know, we've had 50, 60, 70 years of science about what stress does to the human body. And as we all know, stress rips our body apart. It has an effect on virtually every system in our body. But they've just started to do some experiments and started to come across studies and create studies that are actually studying the effect of doing good on the body, and it is significant. There's a nerve called the vagus nerve that starts at the base of our brain, goes through our throat, down into our lungs. It slows our heart rate and slows our breathing, but most importantly, it goes into our abdomen and has an incredibly strong effect on our immune system. So doing good is a win-win for everyone, because physiologically now we have this rock-solid science that says, if you're not feeling well, here's something else you can do to feel better.
Wonderful research about that to support what you're saying, Dan.
Could
you also tell us about some of those people who you didn't pick for your film but had great stories? I mean, you must have talked to how many?
Yeah, I talked to many, many people and reviewed many, many stories, and all of them were moving and incredible in their own right. You know, when you're making a film, you have to make hard decisions on kind of which stories work well together, which stories kind of hit all the right bases together, what kind of geographical locations do you want to include. So often we had to make our decisions based on that, but there are so many wonderful, just endless wonderful stories about people doing amazing things. An example, one of our supporters of the film, too, is a woman named Caroline Boudreau, who lives in Austin, Texas. She has just an amazing story about how she, when she was a young adult, worked in the television industry and was relatively materialistic and took a year off to kind of chase the sun on a trip around the world with her best friend, and they were just going from sort of glamorous place to glamorous place, and all of a sudden they found themselves in India, and something brought her into an orphanage where she met one child who was malnourished, and she happened to be there on the American holiday, Mother's Day. And so she was thinking about her mom. She found herself holding this child who was malnourished, and her entire life changed. She decided that she needed to not go back to America and forget about this. She needed to do something, because she has great potential, she's a very powerful woman herself, very bright, very, very much a go-getter. So she went back to Austin and started something called the Miracle Foundation, which employs only Indian people in India to completely rejuvenate the existing orphanages there, which were pretty horrible. Kids were not getting the food they needed. They were not getting the clothing they needed. They were not getting the motherly attention they needed. So she has altered, in her time with the Miracle Foundation, I don't know how many orphanages to have house mothers. Every 12 kids have a house mother who will always be their house mother from the time they get there to the time they leave when they're 18. So they start to have a family structure. She raised enough money to get them the food and the nourishment they need. And she keeps either starting or taking over more and more orphanages. And it was just solely based on this one experience she had with this one child where she thought, I am feeling deeply that I need to do something about this. And though I'm socialized to kind of disregard that and move on and kind of just have fun, I'm not going to do it. And it's made her life just way more full, and she's happier than she's ever been. And she's just, you know, and that's just one amazing story. There are really thousands.
You know, Dan, these are just wonderful stories. How did you find out about these people?
Well, because of my last film, For the Bible Tells Me So, was pretty widely seen and embraced. A lot of people have followed me on Facebook and on Twitter, and I've talked a lot about my next project being Every 3 Seconds, and I've asked people, you know, if you have someone in your family, or if you read about something, or you see something, or just send it to me. I'd love to know about it. So I read extensively. I'm always online. I just really believe in research, and generally, if I'm moved by something, I consider myself very sort of middle range, middle class. If something speaks to me, it probably will speak to a generally broad audience because I'm a white male middle class person in America. So that, at least for that demographic, I feel like what resonates with me will resonate relatively widely. So I just pay attention to what moves me, and I pursue those stories.
Sounds like a great filmmaker there. what impact do you hope the film will have?
Well, the whole point of this movie really is to get people from intention to action. You know, changing the world starts with really important, good intention, but change doesn't happen until action. We have to take action. And the film really is about showing people that there are so many ways now to, just while you're sitting in your theater seat watching the movie or sitting at your computer watching the movie, there are so many ways to engage in the end of poverty and hunger now. In the film itself, at the end, when people see it, viewers will be given the opportunity, while the movie's playing, to engage in any of the 5 stories or other issues surrounding hunger and poverty as they're sitting there via SMS texting technology. We're working with an amazing company in Los Angeles called Participant Media, who have produced all of the big documentaries you've ever heard of, Inconvenient Truth, Waiting for Superman, The Cove, Food, Inc. They also produced The Help and a movie last year that a few people saw called Lincoln. So they're a very successful company. They are doing all of our texting engagement, which means they are building all our online engagement. So when someone says, I want to either support Charlie and what he's doing, Charlie Simpson, or I want to do something myself for UNICEF, or something else for children globally, they will just simply, while they're sitting in their seat watching the movie, text the word Charlie, the name Charlie, to a source code 77177, and they'll immediately get a website where they will have 5 or 6 options that they can do right there to engage in helping children immediately. In Ingrid's story, people will immediately hear about Kiva. You know, Kiva.org is this amazing website where you can go on Kiva.org, make a $25 loan to one of 1,000 people across the world who needs a microloan to start a business so they can pull their family out of poverty. And then those people pay that loan back, and then you get to give that loan to someone else. And then
I have contributed to Kiva, and
yeah.
I think it's wonderful to see how people use the money and pay it back.
Yeah, I made a loan probably 6 years ago on Kiva of $25, and I've now loaned that same $25 to probably 8 or 9 people now.
So it's, have I. It's a wonderful experience. I know the
isn't
feeling.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, what has been the response so far, Dan, to the film?
Well, we've had just a couple very small sneak preview screenings. One, my childhood summer hometown called the Chautauqua Institution, which is a really wonderful arts festival in western New York. We had a couple nights of screenings there, and just recently a sneak preview at Rutgers University. And the response has been extremely positive. People are very, very anxious to engage. Unfortunately, our online component that I just described is not yet live. So people expressed a lot of frustration that they wanted to get involved now. You know, and that's a really good thing as the filmmaker, because our whole team, you know, I keep saying I, but really this is a team of people that has been working on this film for 5 years. It's a team effort, absolutely, both on the fundraising side and on the production side. So we've been hoping that the online engagement stuff would be up in time for at least the last sneak preview, but it's not yet up. So to hear audience members express frustration is kind of a bummer, but it's also exciting because the whole point is this movie is designed to make people feel like, okay, it's now time for me to engage. Because
Absolutely.
It is now time for us all to engage.
You know, I know our listeners are dying to know how they can see Every 3 Seconds. When and how soon do you expect it to be released?
Well, we are working on a very innovative distribution release plan. You know, when For the Bible Tells Me So, my last film premiered, it started, as Ray said, it started at Sundance, it went through a bunch of festivals, it went into theaters, it was in 150 markets, then it went on television. You know, it was the very sort of, that is the pattern that most documentary films had taken until that point. Well, things have changed so much since then. And we are looking at a pretty exciting premiere, online premiere of the film, coming up within the next probably 2 to 3 months. I can't announce where or when yet, but people who are interested should absolutely go to our Facebook page. When you go to Facebook, just search by the film title, Every 3 Seconds. Like our page, and you will get the updates for when the film will be available. Or follow us on Twitter, which is E3SDocFilm, DocFilm. Those announcements will also be there. But we will premiere the film online. This is our plan. And then it will go, after 24 hours, it will go to something called either Gather or Tug. These are two websites that are similar to Kickstarter or Indiegogo. People who know about Kickstarter know that Kickstarter is a crowdfunding site. People who want to get funding for a project put it on Kickstarter, and people from all over the world through the Internet can either lend them money or donate money or just give them money for their project. Well, Gather and Tug are crowdsourcing sites. So what happens on Gather is when Every 3 Seconds is up on Gather, they will click on it, you'll be taken to the Every 3 Seconds page, and then you have to just do two things. You have to put in your zip code, and you enter your credit card information in order to buy a theater ticket. Your credit card, though, will not be charged unless and until 50 people in your area have also done the same thing. And as soon as we reach 50 people in any given area, the film will immediately go into a theater near you so that you can see it. So people, it's really crowd-controlled distribution. We've been raising money for this film all over the country for 5 years, so we have a lot of really strong pockets of interest and support. So we're excited about that because the film will immediately go to Seattle and immediately go to Miami and all these places that we've had fundraisers and talked to people. So it's a very innovative, very new kind of way to distribute a film.
We're excited
for
you.
Facebook page.
We're very excited as well. We need to take another break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Dan Karslick about his film, Every 3 Seconds. You can ask Dan a question after the break. You can do that several ways. First, you can call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or you can send us an email at radio@betterworldians.com or tweet us a question at twitter.com/betterworldians. We'll be right back now.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from there on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a better worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Better Worldians Radio, with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
Hi, we're back live with filmmaker Dan Carsley. We'd love it if you call in with a question. Once again, you can call at 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or if you prefer, you can also email us at radio@betterworldians.com or tweet us a question at twitter.com/betterworldians.
Hi, Dan. This is Greg. How you doing?
Good, Greg. Thanks.
One of the things I wanted to ask you is, what did you feel that you learned from people in the process of making Every 3 Seconds?
Yeah, when we chose these people to look at for the film, they had already gone at least part of the way down their journey of making a difference. So I always went into each of the interviews kind of with a sense of awe, thinking, wow, I mean, this is amazing. You know, even this little kid, he's amazing. This has got to be someone who's really special. And they are all very special people. But what I really learned, and I think I referenced this earlier, was that none of them, none of the five, really at the beginning thought they were going to really make the huge difference that they ended up making. They just simply decided to do one thing. Mm-hmm. And let the universe, or however you look at life, God, whatever that voice is, guide them to continue and go a next step and go a next step and go a next step. So that was really important for me to learn that, you know, none of these people who have made such huge change thought, I'm going to make huge change now and this is my first step. They just said, you know what, I can do this one thing right now. And then that led to another thing, and that led to another thing. That was hugely important for me, just individually, and I think for the film, because I don't want people to look at these people and say, well, you know, they're somehow much more special than I am. These are five regular folks who are just doing what they felt moved to do, and they just kept doing it.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, a big message of the film, then, is this idea that small acts can make a big difference. I mean, you said that that's what is one of the things that inspired you about these people. Is that something that you want to tell the listeners at home, that you do think, that you do believe that small acts can make a big difference?
Oh, absolutely. I'm sorry. Definitely. As I said earlier, you know, people, I know, I'll speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I have often really good intentions to do good things. And way too often, I just don't do them. And I think, well, at least I was going to do it. You know, change only happens when action takes place. Mm-hmm. Do as much as you possibly can to follow your intuition and actually do those small gestures, those small things that make the world a better place, because once you start doing them, you will realize that it's almost addictive, that it's kind of why we're here. We're here to look out for each other. You know, I just read an amazing quote, which I just loved. It was something like, the same heart beats in every human breast. You know, and for me, the movie is a lot about our oneness.
Yeah.
And the fact that we put up these walls, these false walls of belief or country affiliation or race or whatever it is. And I think when we do these small acts of kindness, we start to erase those false barriers and realize that every, you know, the same heart beats in every human breast. So, yeah, small acts are what it's all about, I think.
Yeah, I like the way that you put that, that's, you know, that's why we're here, ultimately. That's a big part of our mission and our belief here at Better Worldians Radio. So thank you for mentioning that. And I think part of that also, you know, your film shows that you don't have to be a millionaire, celebrity, rock star to make a difference. You know, can you just say something about that?
Yeah, I mean, none of these people were any of that. I mean, you know, we have a senior, the other senior story is Gloria Henderson, who's a 70-something year old African-American woman in rural eastern North Carolina who realized that just so much food was rotting on local farmland that the farmers in that area, and really the farmers all over the U.S., the technology that we use to harvest our crops is from the 40s and early 50s because we have such bounty in the U.S. We leave an incredible amount of fresh fruit and vegetables on our fields. And she realized that if she went with some friends and picked those fruits and vegetables, obviously with the permission of the farmers, she could immediately take all of those fruits and vegetables to homeless shelters and food pantries where people were only getting high salt, high fat food that, you know, supermarkets were giving to these homeless shelters and food pantries. So here's Gloria just having this small idea, like, I'm going to walk across the street to the cornfield across the street and pick what's left and get it to these people who are hungry because they need nutritious food. That's such a simple idea. And yet she has now picked more than 1 million pounds of fresh fruit and vegetables, which has been given to the hungry of eastern North Carolina. And she's like, she couldn't be sweeter. You know, it's not, I don't want to say simple. She's not a simple human being. Everybody's complex. But she has no grandeur about her. She's just a real caring woman who, again, stays young by helping others. You know, in that story, and it's a gleaning story, it's called gleaning, which is a biblical term, I learned that 96 billion pounds of fresh fruit and vegetables is left on our fields in America every year. Oh. Imagine what that could do when put in the mouths of the 22% of children who are hungry in America. You know, it's just crazy. We have these simple solutions. I just have to believe that the more people understand and realize it, the more people are going to want to be part of the solution.
You know, I think that's right. You know, and I think that, you know, you are inspiring us today. I know you've inspired me to realize that small acts can have a big impact, and it's something that everyone can do. Let me take a question. A question came in from email. Caitlin from Pennsylvania, she heard that you mentioned working on the film way back in 2008, and she's curious about the whole journey then of making this film and the process that took place. Can you talk about that?
Sure. You know, one of the great challenges of making independent documentaries is that it takes a while, so you have to choose carefully and really pick topics that you're passionate about. I started in the fall of 2008. And really completed the film just recently, so that's 5 years. And honestly, what takes most of the time is raising the money it takes to make the film. And we had an amazing team doing that, and they did an amazing job. And still, it took us 5 years to complete the whole film because you can't continue with the project unless there's funding. So we were constantly kind of stopping shooting to raise more money, shooting and then stopping to raise more money. So a huge number of very generous people have come together to make this film, and it's taken that long because the fundraising part of it is a real challenge. And there's really no way to get around that, and that's just part of what it is. And the good news is that I really believe that the films take as long as they're supposed to take. I learned that with my last film, and it feels like more than ever the world is ready for Every 3 Seconds, maybe even more than last year. So it's going to be coming out exactly when it's supposed to come out. But it is a journey. And I learned from my colleagues at Sundance, you know, I'm lucky enough to have had a film at Sundance, so I have some resources there, and I was talking to one of them recently and just saying, oh, why does this have to take so long? I want this film out in the world. You know, just kind of bellyaching. And she said, Dan, the average documentary takes 7 years, so you're ahead of the game, so really stop complaining. So I'm not complaining.
That's great. Well, I think you thank you, Caitlin, for that very much. I think we do have Jeannie from Connecticut on with us. Jeannie, welcome to Better Worldians Radio.
Hi there.
Hi.
My question for Dan is, I noticed on your website, I was poking around, that your first film, For the Bible Tells Me So, was recognized as one of 5 films that changed the world. I think that was the accolade or whatever from Entertainment Weekly, which is fantastic. Do you foresee that Every 3 Seconds will also be a film that changes the world? And can you talk a little bit about sort of the shelf life of films and how they can, you know, be impactful beyond their initial release?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the Entertainment Weekly acknowledgement was quite stunning and amazing and very, very important and meaningful for everyone who worked on that film. And yes, the goal is absolutely that Every 3 Seconds has that kind of reach and more. You know, when I first heard about Charlie Simpson, the young boy that we've spoken about earlier in the hour, I approached UNICEF UK to see if they would put me in contact with his parents. And they declined. They said, no, Charlie got a lot of press when the ride happened, and his parents very specifically and very clearly at one point said, okay, that's it. He's 7. We want no more press. He will not be on any television shows. He will not be in any newspapers anymore. We want him to have a childhood. And so when I called UNICEF and they said, the parents have been very clear they're not doing any more press, I said, well, I understand that, and I think it's really great that they're looking out for their son that way, but this isn't press. This is a movie. And the thing about this movie is that no one will hear Charlie's. Charlie was big in the news right around his ride, and then the press moved on. And the number of kids who will be inspired by him stopped because no one was talking about him anymore. And what I explained to the UNICEF UK people was, movies have shelf lives, and this movie will be seen and then seen again. I mean, For the Bible Tells Me So, my last film, really premiered in 2007, and I still get an unbelievable number of emails about that movie every week from people who had never heard of it and finally saw it and loved it and changed their lives. And so when I talked to UNICEF UK about that, I said, please tell the parents that this isn't about press. This isn't about exploitation. It is about giving people the opportunity to know what Charlie did and be inspired by it so they could take their own small acts of kindness forward. And so they finally gave me access to his parents, who were also immediately saying no. So I actually was in London shooting an interview with Karen Armstrong, the theologian, for the film, and I asked them if we could just meet. So we met at a local bookstore. They did not bring Charlie. I just met with Leo and Dan, his parents, and I explained this again, that the thing about film is that it has a life, and as you said, Jeannie, a shelf life, that there were thousands of kids and adults already inspired by him, but we could exponentially increase that if you allow me to tell his story. You do not have to do any press for the film. I'll understand if you guys want to stay completely out of it once the film is done, but please allow me to tell his story. And they agreed at that point because they understood about the power of film. You know, film.
Thank you, Jeannie, very much for that call. We actually have just one more call. I apologize for interrupting, Dan. We have Sherry on the line. Sherry, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Welcome to Better Audience Radio.
Thank you. This has come up for me as, you know, as we've been going through the Philippine disaster in the past few weeks, and it's the same kind of concern that I often hear and read about as I read about this issue of hunger and poverty, and that is We have a lot of hungry people and homeless people right here in the U.S. Some people said they didn't get enough help for Sandy and so forth. And so there's a mentality among some people that we should take care of our own in our own country first. And clearly this movie has a very global perspective. So yeah. What would your response be to that concern?
And Dan, I hate to tell you this. We have to just make it quick. We only have a few more minutes left to wrap up the show. I'm sorry.
Okay. My response is absolutely. There are stories in the film that are both United States-based and globally, and that all I say to people when they say that is, as long as you take action to help people here and don't use it as an excuse not to do anything for anyone, I'm fine. If you want to help people in the U.S., absolutely, there's so many people who need it. If you want to engage in the end of hunger abroad, fantastic. Just do something.
Okay, you can find out more about the film Every 3 Seconds by going to Dan's website, every3seconds.net. Dan, once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. This has been a most inspirational episode this week in Better Worlds Radio, and we appreciate you joining us.
Oh, it was my pleasure. I love what you guys are up to in the world. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dan.
You're very welcome. Please join us next week for our show on Thanksgiving, The Habits of Happiness, with happiness expert Matthew Della Porta. Dr. Della Porta will talk about gratitude and the importance of being thankful. What a great idea for Thanksgiving. We have an excellent lineup of guests in the coming weeks, and if you know of an unsung Better Worldian who would make a great guest on our show, please send us an email at radio@betterworldians.com. We'd like to remind everyone that you can be part of a miracle this holiday season. Simply share our video challenge and help heal 10 disabled children. It's that easy. Just go to colorwithkindness.com, watch the video, share it with your friends, and give these kids the gift of a lifetime. We'd like to thank everyone today for listening. Once again, you can join the Better Worldian community at betterworldians.com. Until next time, everybody, please be a Better Worldian.
Thank you again for helping make the world just a little bit better this week. Please join your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope we've inspired you to do one small thing to help make a big difference. Join us at BetterWorldians.com to tell us what you've done to change the world.